Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Scripture today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. So remember that once you were Gentiles by physical descent, who were called uncircumcised by Jews who are physically circumcised. At that time, you were without Christ. You were aliens rather than citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenants of God's promise. In this world, you had no hope and no God. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who were once so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. When he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit.
I'm going to do a new thing. Hear a little celebration over there. It's a new thing that pushes tradition a little bit if you think about it one way. On the other hand, it honors tradition a little bit if you think about it a different way. Now, I've told you how I've used the phrase genetically Methodist. That's me, I'm genetically Methodist. On my mom's side of the family, my maternal grandfather was a Methodist preacher in rural Missouri. I said it right, Missouri. He was rural. He was so rural, he preached in certainly the 1940s, I think sometime in the 1930s as well. It was so rural that sometimes when he got paid in chickens. That was the time, that was the circumstance. Elston was his name, Elston Hines. Now, I never met Elston. He died when my mom was 12. So I never had the chance to meet him. But I know his brother Elroy, who is also clergy, who now lives in a suburb of Kansas City. Elroy has told me stories about Elston. One of my favorite stories about Elston, and this is the tradition I'm going to honor today, even though it's not always traditional. Here's what Elston would do when he preached. You see, he would come down. He was a down-home, country, rural preacher. And he would come, and he would talk to, in the middle of his sermon, he would come and say, "Mary Jane, I'm so glad to see you today. I know you've got your party coming up. I hope things are going well for that." He would come, and he would talk to people in the middle of his sermon. "Roger, I'm so glad to see you today. This is the first Sunday you've been back in a little while, and I'm so glad to see you." Roger does incredible work around the church, and he has for years. So as I walk about a bit and I say hi to Grace and Chi, as I come around, please know that I'm honoring tradition in a way that's non-traditional. But it's part of my family connection. Now, I know that some of you who are in the front have to flip around right to see. And I know that I'm giving Emilio a little bit of a hard time as he tries to make sure that the cameras for our online folks can still track me. I'm trying to be good about this. But it's honestly, the reason I wanted to do this today is because I wanted to honor my family. See, family is important to me. Family is critical to me. I just had a conversation. Emilio and I were talking, and we were talking with somebody. Oh, we were talking with Lisa. That's right. We were talking about siblings. Siblings are interesting. If you have siblings, you know that siblings are a very interesting relationship. My kids, my two boys, they sometimes get along so well. I'm coming over to you. They sometimes get along so well, but sometimes they really, really don't. My sister, so I have two sisters, they're both younger than me. The middle sibling, Liz, she's 7 years younger than me, and then Kat is 11 years younger than me, so there's a bit of an age gap. Liz and I fought like cats and dogs until she was a teenager. Now, you might say, teenager, good Lord, it probably got worse. No, that's when we were able to communicate on something other than like the dishes, or whether or not she stole my clothes again. My sisters and I are incredibly close. My dad and I are really close. It wasn't until I was no longer a teenager that my dad and I were able to get along. See, because when I was a teenager, it was all bickery and fighting. It was terrible. But once we got an opportunity or chose the opportunity to talk beyond like whether or not I'd eaten the last hot dog, or whether or not I'd done the dishes, and we could really talk, that's when we connected. Now, I don't know if your family is anything like mine, but maybe with some of your family members, you know that there are some topics you just don't talk about. My dad and I don't talk about politics. We try not to talk about politics. The last time I went up there, the boys and I went up there, and we went to get ice cream. And we were sitting outside the place eating our ice cream. My dad and I started to talk about politics, and I could see my kids start to look uncomfortable. And then I don't know how long into the conversation it was, Zachary spoke up. He said, "Daddy, people are watching." But we're still family. No matter what, we're family. Now, I have an absolute joy of having a wonderful connection with my family. And there are some folks who either have a really hurtful connection with their family. There are some folks who would say they don't have a family. And one of the things that I said to someone just this morning, when I heard that phrase, "I don't have a family," I said, "This is your family. This right here is your family." I don't know if you all noticed this, but from the very first Sunday when I started doing those weekly videos that we put in the email that go out every week, I don't know if you've noticed this, but every single time, do you know how I address you in that video? Do you remember what it says, what I say? Does anybody remember? "Hey there, LJUMC family." Every single time, because I think that we're a spiritual family, and I think that's important. I think that's valuable. I think that some of the things that people long for in the world is vibrant connection. And I think that that's embodied in a faith community, in a spiritual family. Now, Paul, when he writes to the church in Ephesus, I'm going to come back to that simple phrase in a moment. He's writing to a group of people who have experienced division and have experienced arguments. And it seems to me as though part of what he's trying to do is say, listen, like our spirituality, our connection as family is bigger than those differences. Now, it's highlighted in the text as the difference between Jews and Gentiles. We might translate that a bit with an understanding that Paul writes to a broad audience. here's the point that I struggle with how far I'm going to push on this. The letter to the church in Ephesus, listen, probably wasn't only to that church. The words in Ephesus are not in all the manuscripts that we have from this letter. It is likely that this letter was written to a number of churches throughout Asia Minor. Now, if you want to know my source, I'm happy to tell you. Bart Ehrman has written or edited something like 30 books, including 3 college textbooks. He has his MDiv and his PhD from Princeton Theological Seminary. He also has 6 books on the New York Times bestseller. He helps us to see that with some manuscripts, including the phrase in Ephesus, to the church in Ephesus, which is the first couple of verses of the letter, with some manuscripts saying that and some manuscripts not, it's likely that it absolutely was sent to the church in Ephesus, but it was probably sent to other churches as well in other parts, again, of Asia Minor. You know how we can think of this letter? It's the first circuit rider. Remembering our United Methodist tradition of preachers who would go from place to place. Paul wrote a letter that had value for a broad audience and sent it to several churches. I like thinking of it as a circuit rider. But the other thing that helps me to understand is that this letter includes such a broad audience that we can learn from it too. Isn't it important to understand that this sacred text, this deeply spiritual text, has value for us today? It's relevant and it's important. So that was a little tangent, but I think it was important to name that this letter is written to a broad audience and we can receive it well today. Because we know what it's like to live in a place where we disagree with one another. And we are creative people. We find lots of things to disagree about. But imagine that this letter wasn't necessarily written to highlight that we don't have to claim the same differences as Gentiles and Jews. What if what was written in here is, listen, it doesn't matter if we're Republican or Democrat or Independent. What if it's said in here that it doesn't matter if you believe in these vaccines or not? What if it said in here it doesn't matter if you live in La Jolla or PB? What if it said in here it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor? What if it said in here it doesn't matter if your theology is conservative or progressive liberal? What if it said in here it doesn't matter if you're straight or LGBTQ? What if it said in here that this place is a family for all God's people? What if it said in here, it doesn't matter if you are deeply committed and doubt-free in your faith or if you have all the questions? What if it said in here, it doesn't matter if you hold a high Christology, Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, or if you weren't sure about this guy? The bishop in our region, Bishop Grant Haggia, has said publicly in a number of ways, as we in the United Methodist tradition wrestle with matters of inclusion, has said publicly in a number of ways, listen, I don't want to tell one church or one pastor how to be, because I think that our region can be big enough and broad enough that we can include people who disagree on that matter of inclusion. What does it feel like to have a letter that might be addressed to us? And so Paul says, remember that once you were Gentiles who were separate from the Jews. At that time, you were aliens, strangers to the covenant of God's promise. that in that world before you had no hope and no God, but now. Now you who were once so far away have been brought near. Not because of anything you've done, but because of a God of grace and compassion. Because of the one who was proclaimed even by another voice saying, all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. He makes Republicans and Democrats and independents into one group. He makes conservatives and liberals, progressives, into one group. He makes traditionalists and non-traditionalists together in one group, in a family. Now, I don't know if your family is like mine, but sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we find that there are things that we can't talk about in public, otherwise the kids will point out that people are watching. But I find that even in those disagreements, that there is love, there is hope, there is faith, there is deep and profound connection. Sometimes we find ourselves doing new things. Sometimes we find ourselves enriched. In fact, I submit that most of the time we find ourselves enriched. It is my hope, friends, that we experience this faith community as family, as joy, as hope, as love. May God make it so. Amen. As we have concluded every time of message, we've tried to offer something tangible. I want to tell you a story. A friend of mine posted this story online. I don't know if it's a true story or not. I think of it more of a parable, but I think we learn from parables. So let me tell you this story that my friend posted online, and I'll use this as sort of a guide to get us into something tangible I would like to invite you to do. The story he posted online was about somebody who came into church with his wife. And right in the middle of the sermon, I'm talking right when the pastor is making that really good point, yeah, his phone went off. And you should have seen every face in the church turn to him and look. Well, after the service, just as they were getting up and headed for the door, boy, his wife laid into him. And as he shook hands with the pastor in the back, the pastor sort of said something sort of snarky to him. Imagine how he felt after that. He never came back to that church. Not long after that, he went to a bar and he had a drink. He spilled it. That waitress came right over and she cleaned that up and she said, please don't worry about it. We all make mistakes. Let me get you another drink. The patron sitting over at the next table said, I've done that two or three times myself. Don't worry about it. You're fine. He's been back there a lot of times. I tell you that parable and invite you to think about every interaction you have with someone connected with your faith community. How often do we tell people that they're wrong and that the way they do things or think things is incorrect? And in doing that, tell folks that they are not welcome. Sometimes it can be something as simple as, well, you're in my seat. We're United Methodists. We have assigned seats, right? Sometimes it can be as simple as that. And sometimes it can be more. So the real and tangible thing I'm inviting you to do today is to analyze everything you say to someone connected with your faith tradition. And are you telling them how wrong they are and how unwelcome they are? Or are you embodying God's grace? Maybe so.